We now come to the more solemn part of the service, and that is, first of all, in that more solemn part of the service, to fence the table in the sense of indicating who they are that have a duty to come and who they are that are not to come. And what I want to do is to debar those who are careless about these things. They are not to come into the, not to come to the table of the Lord until they have been given a better mind about the things of Christ, the things of God, the things that belong to the kingdom of God. They are not to come to the table who have no God, but who have other gods. Of course we have a God, but those who are trying to live as if they had no God, as if there was no God, they are not to come until, and it's a phrase I associate with Reverend John Cocoon, until they come to have another mind, a better mind. And it's not a good mind that says there is no God, and even says in practice there is no God. People might look back and say, at that stage in my life, I was acting as if there was no God, acting as if I had no sense of God. Yes, but you can be thankful if the Lord has met with you and given you a sense, perhaps first of all, of his holiness, a sense that you were a man of unclean lips, and dwelling among a people of unclean lips and being happy to dwell among them and to imitate them. Much this generation is living as if there was no God, happy to be led on by the opinion makers of the time, those who are influencers, some calling themselves by that name. Well, it's not the influence of worldly people, godless people, who are trying to make other people more godless. That's not what we need. We need the saving influences of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we should be asking for. So those who are careless about the existence of God, and those who are careless about the purpose of Christ coming into the world, who are careless about any possible connection that there might be between them and Christ, between them and Christ's sacrifice, are not to come to the Lord's table after all. It's to remember the death of Christ when he once offered himself as a sacrifice, that we are gathered here particularly to remember. Do this in remembrance of me. Yes. Those who are careless about the worship of God, whether they come to his worship or not. Those who are careless about it and careless about getting good through it, they are not to come to the Lord's table. Yes, as yet. May the Lord give such people another mind, bringing them to seek him earnestly, who is able to supply such needs and all their need. Do not lose sight of that, but recognize this just now. If we are careless about worshiping God, then the Lord's table is not a place for us as yet. Now, those who are careless about a reverent use of God's name and God's worship and so on, they're not to come to the Lord's table. In particular, in the words of the commandment, those who are taking God's name in vain, making a frivolous use of God's name, those who are not thinking of the seriousness because of the glory of his person when they speak about God. Yes, if we pursue these commandments in their implications, then we might find ourselves forbidden. But you see, those who can go from that, by God's grace, to look again to God's holy temple, as Jonah did, following his sin. I would look again to thy holy temple. I would look again to Christ, who came into the world to save sinners. Yes. Whatever their sins. Though I'm not saying that as to suggest that the sins of God's people are trivial. Doesn't really matter. I'm not saying that. But you see, having looked again to God's holy temple, to God himself in his temple, then they are to come. Those who are careless about the day for God's worship, that we are to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. To keep it holy. To make it a holy day as far as lies in our power. And even then we come short. Yes. But you see, those who are outwardly careless about the Sabbath, they may come to church, but still, they're not trying to make a profitable use of God's day. Yes, there are matters of necessity and mercy. But those who have not some consciousness of the duty of making a profitable use, a spiritually profitable use of God's day, they're not to come to the Lord's table. I said some consciousness of that. I'm not trying to lay down a perfect standard. God has laid down a perfect standard for our keeping of the law. But you see, may the Lord guide us in these things. Some people might pick something up and with a very tender conscience say, that would keep me from the Lord's table. Well, if you're concerned about that, go again with your sin. Make contact with Christ as the saviour of sinners. Go over in your mind some call of the gospel and ask the Lord to apply it to your soul, and that the Lord would establish a connection between the exercise of your soul today, just now, and the work of Christ for sinners. Now, there's the matter of killing, and those who are careless about that and careless about the duty to do all in our power to preserve our own lives and the lives of others. And I suppose there's a path off that road which brings us to this thought, what sinners do to murder their souls. They might be scrupulous about preserving someone else's life and preserving their own lives. But are you scrupulous about making use of every possibility to get spiritual life in your soul and to attain to eternal life? Are you serious about these things? Remember the connection. Remember the free offer of the gospel, which is addressed to you. And then again, the matter of uncleanness. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Are you careless about that? Are you careless about your thought? Well, let that keep you from the Lord's table. I do not say that your thoughts must be perfect. What I'm saying, are you careless about your thoughts? Commit yourself to the Lord. Ask for his cleansing power. Ask for the supply of all your need in connection with sin. Yes, and the Lord is able to bless you. Go to it. Take a firm grasp of the fact that the Lord is able to supply all your needs, whatever you think of your spiritual standing at this moment. Go to it. And in particular, if the devil is tempting you with your improper thoughts, cry out in your soul, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Do thou with hyssop sprinkle me. I shall be cleansed so. Yea, wash thou me, and then I shall be whiter than the snow. There's an enormous breadth to the promises and the offers that come to sinners, whether they are in the kingdom as yet or not. There's the matter about honesty or matters, whether under the 8th commandment or the 9th commandment. Well, those who are careless about these things, they're not to come to the Lord's table. And then finally, careless about covetousness. Careless about deciding what is not yours and what you are not a right. I mean, you desire something in a shop window, you have the money to pay for it, you go on, a transaction is made, and you go away with whatever it is. Now, that's not covetousness to wish for something that you can legitimately and wisely have. It's a wishing to have by improper means what you think of or what you see in someone else's possession. Yes, again. We might speak of our unclean desire. As Isaiah was speaking of his unclean lips, we need to be purified. But those who are careless about these things, careless to some extent, who do not have to some extent a care, a concern about these things, they have not to come to the Lord's table. And let me mention what the matter of covetousness is a particular example of. There's heart sin generally. Those who are not, who do not have some care about heart sin. Now that's of course where you find unbelief in the heart. There may be outward manifestations of it, but the root of it is in the heart. But on the other hand, they are invited to the Lord's table who cannot be satisfied with their own righteousness. That's not a basis for salvation. But instead, they are looking to Christ. There is some kind of connection established between themselves and Christ as the one source of salvation. You ask to be kept from looking to yourself. You ask to be brought to lean more firmly on Christ if you say, I am looking to him at all. But you see, look to it. You've got that desire. I can't help thinking time and again, perhaps quite often in particular when I am trying to preach, a question meeting. And there was a bit of a question between the time was passing and there was a bit of a question. My brother minister asked, will I ask so-and-so? I think I encouraged him to do so. And the man got up when he was called. And he said, a great deal of this has to do with the desire. What are our desires? Where are our desires going? Where are our desires going in connection with our souls and the needs of our souls and sin and the sins that we have done and the power of sin in our heart? Where are they going? Are they going to Christ? Are they going to the altar and the fire burning on the altar and fire consuming the sacrifice? What these things we're representing in the case of Christ. Yes. If you can at least say that your desires are going out after Christ and salvation through him and salvation through him alone, then come to the Lord's table. Of course, that's the matter of the structures of the church, the authority of the elders to watch over admission to the table and to meet with the Kirk session in advance of going. But that may be helpful to you for some other time. Don't let these things pass. Don't let your opportunities, child of God, to come to the Lord's table pass you by, or you pass them by. But I'm setting these things just now before those who have been accepted as members and maybe questioning their present duty and their present right to go to the Lord's table. Yes. Remember that the sacrament is a strengthening ordinance. Although you may be feeling very weak just now, the Lord may meet with you in connection with the sacrament. Take your opportunity. If you have something of the evidences of having passed from death to life, if you have something by way that you can recognize of life in your soul, desires that couldn't be in your soul apart from spiritual life given you from above. Yes. Well, let us leave that there and read the passages that are read on such occasions. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And again in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 5 and at verse 3. Matthew 5, 3. And seeing the verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us read our authority for this sacrament. Reading in the first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 11, and at verse 23, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And after the Savior's example, let us give thanks. O Lord, thou knowest how unthankful we are, but thou art able to make us thankful, to make us thankful for the saving provision that has been made, and to make us thankful for our place as recipients for that of that provision. O Lord, help us in all our weakness, in all that is true of us as having unclean lips, but grant to go before us, be working in us, continue thy good work in us, and grant to bless us at this observance of the sacrament. Bless us in our souls, and may we see how it is a sign and seal of the covenant, and show us the blessings of the covenant, and may we see this as a seal of an assurance to those who have a right to them that these blessings will be theirs. Take care of us. Take care of us in our speaking. Forgive us for what we say with our unclean lips, the imperfection of it at the very least. Grant us thy blessing. Take us safely through this world until the time comes for us to be brought into eternity. O Lord, seal to thy children all the promises as they are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Go before us now, go before us always, set apart from a common to a holy use such part of the bread and wine as will be used on this occasion. O, be with us always, pardon our sin. Go before us in thine infinite mercy and help us to receive the bread and the wine, knowing what we are about, knowing what they signify, and may it be to our spiritual growth. Pardon us, keep us, and bless us. Make us thankful and grant that we would be acting accordingly. For Jesus' sake, amen. Well, you are now at the Lord's table. I would like to set before you these words, these divine words spoken originally in Egypt. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. When I see the blood, where would he see the blood? He would see it on the doorposts and on the lintels, very likely on every Israelite household. And they were acting according according to divine direction, and the blood came from the Passover lamb, a lamb without blemish that had to die, had to be roasted with fire. And in all that we should see what was typified, the sacrifice of Christ and the shedding of his blood and the sprinkling of that blood. There was the fact that the Lamb had been chosen, my chosen one, the Father describes him as, chosen to be a saviour, chosen to carry out the work of redemption. He was without blemish, without spot, no imperfection there. It had to be perfect to be a sacrifice. The one who was chosen to be a real sacrifice for sinners must be perfect. He must be indeed the Lamb of God when he came to take away the sins of the world. And his blood is being sprinkled, spiritually speaking. The death of Christ, the merits of the death of Christ are being applied to sinners. Yes, they have sinned. They were men of unclean lips, as well as in every other way, in one degree or another. But you see, if the Lord comes as a destroying angel, he comes to every sinner in one sense or another, in the way I'm trying to describe. He comes and he knows that they have unclean lips. He knows that they have been sinners. He knows that there is punishment for sin, that the wrath of God, his own wrath, must go out toward them apart from one thing. Has the blood been sprinkled? Have they laid hold of the blood? Have they laid hold of the one who shed his blood? Have they laid hold of the one whose body was broken? Have they laid hold of the one who died for sinners and who receives sinners and turns therefore the wrath of God away from sinners? Yes, he looks on them and he says, I see the blood and I pass over you. And we can apply that in particular in connection with a sinner passing into eternity. And how many, to speak solemnly, how many there are, and there is no restraint of the wrath of the destroying angel when it takes a sinner here and a sinner there, when it takes all sinners eventually of a particular generation and brings them into eternity. And how many of these are still subject to the wrath of God, and they go down to experience the penalty in a lost eternity. But there's this, there's the blood, and the blood has been sprinkled. And he looks at the consciences of sinners, and he sees the blood. He sees his own blood, the blood of Christ. And it's there. It has been appropriated by the sinner. The sinner is clinging on to Christ. We're thinking of death approaching. And what does the Lord see? He sees the blood, and the blood was applied. This is a saved sinner, and it's fulfilled. And will we say, it comes into the mind of the destroying angel. Of course, we're speaking in human terms. The mind of the divine persons, the mind of God, the mind of Christ, has all these things permanently inscribed into the thoughts that not go through his mind, but the thoughts that are in his mind. And he says, I pass over. I leave you unpunished. The punishment was borne by the substitute. You are free. You are to be admitted into the into heaven above. The blood has been shed. The blood has been applied. The blood has been appropriated. The sin has been removed. The sin has been carried away, borne away. It's the Lamb of God who takes away, who has taken away the sin of the world. That's it. Oh, behold that again. Listen to the words of John the Baptist. And they were put into his mouth, surely, in a special act of God's providence, as he said to the two disciples that he had with him, when Christ passes by, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold him now. Behold him now. Yes, while you sit at the table, while you are about to take in his broken body and shed blood and the symbols of these things. Yes, think of what he did. Think of what he did for you. Think of the great price he paid. Think of the great price that was required because of your sins, and not least your sin in refusing him for so long. It was long, however young you might have been when you looked to Christ, still, for what one should think of as a long time, whether many years or fewer years, it's a long time. And the sin of that continuing rejection, the sin of that continuing carelessness, it's great. But oh, however great it might be, this is true, that the destroying angel, the angel of death, you might say, he says, when I see the blood, I pass over you. Not but that he takes the sinner into eternity, but the guilt has been removed. The merits of Christ have been laid to your account. And when it is said, I pass over you, there's more than that. There's all the blessings that become yours, that will become yours at death. All the blessings, that you may go immediately, no purgatory, but you may go immediately into heaven and join with those who have been there singing the praises of the Lamb for thousands of years, and you are in tune with them immediately. Yes. Oh, think of the great blessings that are held out in the death of Christ, a complete supply, so that I can put here again the words of the apostle. That my God shall supply all your needs. Paul's God, your God, shall provide, supply all your need, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And we will not keep from you any longer the symbols of his broken body and shed blood. We read that in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread and said, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And he took the cup, and when he had supped, he said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Drink ye all of it, for as often as ye eat the bread, this bread, and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and you are to be looking to the blood. It's a symbol of the Savior's death. And here you find a symbol of the broken body of the Savior and a symbol of his poured out blood. And they are there set before you. His death has been set before you. And he looks at the evidence of his death, will we say. He's there in heaven, and he's shepherding his flock for the sake of what he has undertaken for them, for the sake of what he has done for them, and there's his ongoing work as prophet, priest, and king before the throne. And it's for you. He, as it were, looks at the blood and sees that all your needs are to be supplied, what he can do for you, and that is much. What he can do for you as prophet and as priest and as king. Look at what he has done. Look at his work as brought before you in the Lord's Supper. Seek that your heart would go out in faith and lay hold in him again and again. And if your ongoing sins are before you and your ongoing sins are real, they are, and they need a remedy, and the remedy has been provided. And he is saying still, in connection with these ongoing sins, I see the blood and I pass over you. The blood has been sprinkled, as surely as it was on the lintels and doorposts of the Israelite houses in Egypt. And he passes by, he passes over, and he passes over you. He forgives your iniquity. He gives you grace and strength for all your duties, for the long trek through the wilderness. He provides for that. He provides for your entering in to the heavenly Canaan. Yes, he sees the blood, will we say, and he provides for all your need. It's not that his work is insufficient in any sense or in any degree. Why then are there difficulties? Why then are there shortcomings? Why then are there doubtings and fears? Well, it's not because of any lack in the efficacy of the blood. It's a weakness in your receiving of these things, but he is able to give you grace and more grace. Or you take a look at your unclean lips, or whatever aspect of your life and character it may be, take a look at these things, and then take a look at the blood. Take a look at the work of Christ. Take a look at the complete sufficiency of all these things, and remember his words, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and we will not keep from you, and we will not keep you at the table any longer. You will rise with buttresses. Grace in exercise in your heart and his praise on your lips as you sing at the beginning of Psalm 103, O thou my soul, bless God the Lord and all that in me is.
O thou my soul, so.